Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Gopi Jana Vallava Giri Varadhani Gopi Dana Vallava Giri Varadhani Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Gauranithai, 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 Gauranithai Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram. Jaya Radha, Shyam Sundara Radha, Shyam Sundara Radha. Jaya Radha, Shyam Sundara Radha, Shyam Sundara Radha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jayam Vishnubhat Paramahamsa Paravraja Kacharya Ashtada Satasi Simati Stivayangres Silabe Charanaravinda Shila Bhaktivedan Swami Maharaja Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anand Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Iskon Founder Acharya Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nama Acharya Shila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sakaho Si Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Giradha Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Si Si Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Mathura Dham Ki Jai Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki Ganga Mai Yamuna Mai Ki Bhakti Devi Tulasi Devi Ki Hari Nam Shankirtan Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Shishi Gorni Tai Ki Jai Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai Shishi Radha Sham Sundara Ki Jai. So let us again hear this. It's an amazing statement. It says it takes many years and births to become free from this desire for sense gratification. When a person thus engages in devotional service and self-realization for many, many years and births, he becomes completely reluctant to enjoy any one of the material planets, even up to the highest planet, which is known as Brahmaloka. He becomes fully developed in Krishna, in consciousness. Purport. Anyone engaged in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as a devotee. But there is a distinction between pure devotees and mixed devotees. A mixed devotee engages in devotional service for the spiritual benefit of being eternally engaged in the transcendental abode of the Lord in full bliss and knowledge. He does devotional service so that one day he can reach the abode of the Lord. This is the motivation of moksha. He wants to be liberated and finally taste bliss. In material existence, when a devotee is not completely purified, he expects material benefit from the Lord in the form of relief from material miseries. Or he wants material gain, advancement in knowledge of the relationship between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity. Or he wants knowledge as to the real nature of the Supreme Lord. When a person, however, is transcendental to these conditions, he's called a pure devotee. He does not engage himself in the service of the Lord for any material benefit or for understanding of the Supreme Lord. His one interest is that he loves the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he spontaneously engages in satisfying him. The highest example of pure devotional service is that of the gopis in Vrindavan. They are not interested in understanding Krishna, but only in loving him. That platform of love is the pure state of devotional service. Unless one is advanced to this pure state of devotional service, there is a tendency to desire elevation to a higher material position. A mixed devotee may desire to enjoy a comfortable life on another planet with a greater span of life, such as on Brahmaloka. These are material desires, but because a mixed devotee engages in the service of the Lord, ultimately, after many, many lives of material enjoyment, he undoubtedly develops Krishna consciousness. And the symptom of this Krishna consciousness is that he is no longer interested in any sort of materially elevated life. He does not aspire to become a personality like Lord Brahma. Please let us chant the pranam mantras. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My dear dear Maharajas and respected devotees, before attempting to speak on this very, very high verse and purport, I would like to express my profound gratitude that you have kindly come to attend this Bhagavatam class. It is a great honor and a great source of humbleness, actually, to sit in this wonderful temple in the midst of the sacred land of Vrindavan and address you on the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you very, very much. Let us again hear the verse, and soon we will hear 6:19:5. Yadaivam adhyatma rataha kalena bahujanmana savatra jata vairagya abrahma bhuvanan munihi. Translation. When a person thus engages in devotional service and self-realization, for many, many years and births, he becomes completely reluctant to enjoy any one of the material planets, even up to the highest planet, which is known as Brahma Loka. He becomes fully developed in consciousness. In the purport to this verse, which is describing pure love of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada defines what a pure lover of God is, what a pure devotee is. And he says that this devotee who is pure has really no desire. And please listen to what types of desires he doesn't have. First of all, he doesn't engage in devotional service just to be free from miseries and taste bliss. You know, many times when we asked devotees, why have you joined the Krishna consciousness movement, they will say, because of this material desire. They said, I was suffering so much, and then I found Krishna, and then I took to it because then I felt some bliss. You know, this is not pure devotional service, this is mixed devotional service, according to this verse. What else does a pure devotee doesn't want? He doesn't want material gain. He doesn't want, listen to this, advancement in knowledge of the relationship between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity. He doesn't even want to know his, you know, how is the relationship there. He doesn't even want to have knowledge of the real nature of the Supreme Lord. This is Jnana Mishra Bhakti. No, when a person is transcendental, Prabhupada says, to all these conditions, he is called a pure devotee. What does he want? What is left? He just wants to love Krishna, that's all. He loves Krishna. Now, I think as we hear this, if we are not asleep like 20% of you, if we are not mentally asleep, we begin to think, my God, I'm really not on this level. This is really amazing high Krishna consciousness. And how will I come to this level ever? And how will I be able to be in this realm of bhakti? Oh my God, my life is wasted, we think. I'm so proud to be a devotee, but I'm not. I'm not a shadow of a devotee. I'm really... Oh, Krishna, horrible. So, my dear devotees, it's good if we feel a little humble. Hare Krishna. Very, very important to be a little, practice a little self-realization when we hear such verses. My dear devotees, Krishna wants so much that we become a pure soul. He wants so much to engage in a relationship with all of us. But before this, he will put us through two types of tests, and this will be the content of this lecture. I would like to read to you, however, from the sixth canto, an amazing purport of Srila Prabhupada, or parts of this purport, from which you can see how much Krishna wants each one of us. This will be important, because if you don't hear this, you will faint during the course of my lecture. And I don't want this. Listen to the sweetness of Krishna's personality who so much cares for his devotees. Even though, says Prabhupada, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is endowed with all possessions. It is self-sufficient. He doesn't need anything. He depends on his devotees. Therefore, the relationship of the Lord with his devotees is extremely confidential. In this relationship, Krishna gives himself to his devotees. Only the devotee can perceive how the Lord, although full in himself, depends on his devotee for some particular work. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 11th chapter, verse 33, where the Lord tells Arjuna, you might know this shloka, Nimitta Matram Bhava Savyasachin. O Arjuna, merely be an instrument in the fight. Lord Krishna had the competence to win the battle of Kurukshetra, but nonetheless he induced his devotee Arjuna to fight and become the cause of victory. So it means Krishna wants his devotees and service, and then he becomes satisfied. He becomes pleased, Prabhupada says, when his devotee offers him patram pushpam phalam toyam. Imagine, my dear devotees, he becomes happy with you when you offer him a leaf, flower, fruit or water in devotion. And now Prabhupada gives some wonderful examples how the Lord depends on his devotees. Sometimes the Lord, as the child of Mother Yashoda, requests his devotee for some food. Mother, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry. As if he were very hungry. Sometimes, listen to this, he tells his devotee in a dream that his temple and his garden are now very old and that he cannot enjoy them very nicely. There are many devotees here in this temple who have seen the Lord in a dream come to them and said, can you give me this? Will you take care of my temple and my garden or something like this? Prabhupada continues, thus he requests the devotee to repair his temple or his garden. Sometimes Krishna is buried in the earth. And as if unable to come out himself, oh my dear, Jogidaji, sun is very welcome in winter. In summer, no, but in winter, very good, very good. Thus he requests a devotee to repair his temple, a dilapidated temple. Sometimes Krishna is buried in the earth, and as if unable to come out himself, he requests his devotee to rescue him. Save me, bring me from the earth. You know, many of the Vrindavan deities which we now worship have come in a dream to the devotees, who then found the devotees and the deities and unearthed them. And now something which I feel is very relevant to the members of our society. Sometimes Krishna requests his devotee to preach his glories all over the world, although he alone is quite competent to perform this task. So even though the Supreme Personality of Godhead is endowed with all possessions and is self-sufficient, that means he can do everything on his own, he depends on his devotees. Therefore, the relationship of the Lord with his devotees is extremely confidential, extremely sweet. Krishna is ready to engage in a direct relationship with every one of his devotees, every single one. Krishna, in fact, is not satisfied unless all the souls love him. This is one of his qualities which he has. He is unlimitedly desirous for the love of all the souls. He's unlimitedly desirous. He's not like a human being who, according to one view of psychology, can have a maximum of 7 intimate relationships. You know, it's father, mother, maybe 1 or 2 good friends, and then some children. But when there are more people than 7 who are desiring an intimate relationship with a human being, he just can't do it. He's like one of these street dogs who has 20 children and they all want to drink milk, and she just can't do it. She may want to give milk, the stray doggini, but she's just sucked out from so too many children. Hare Krishna. So the human being is similar in this way, that he just can't engage in so many intimate relationships. Not so with Krishna. Krishna, in fact, desires all of us to engage in a relationship. And he is ready to appear in dreams of the devotees and tell them, can you please do this service for me? Or Krishna will usually, for a person like us, work through other devotees. So the devotees come to us and say, could you do this service for Krishna, please? Could you do this, please? Or Krishna is ready to appear in the heart and give the devotee an instruction. I felt this today together with Janardan Maharaj. Janardan Maharaj, we were there to ISKCON Sannyasis, and we were wanting to take our darshan of Radha Shyam Sundar. So there was a little girl who was beyond the rope, you know, on this side of the rope. And we were standing before the rope as our privileged position as well-tempered glorified senior members deserves. I'm joking with you. So we were standing there and we wanted to take our darshan. And this little girl said to both of us, "Side, side, side." So the chokidar was there, and he was really going very, 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 he was going on the case of the girl. How can this little tiny girl tell to the danda people they should move to this side? Move over, buddy. You are in my way. How could she be so absolutely equipped with devilish intelligence? And he was really getting down on the girl. And then I just looked at Radha Shyam Sundar, and I felt from the deities a very wonderful inspiration. The deity said, do you remember the past time where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to take darshan, and then one woman climbed on her shoulder, and his servant said, Uncivilized woman, get down. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Sannyasi. Can't you see? And he wanted to pull this poor woman, this woman down. And when Lord Chaitanya saw this, this activity of his, who was it, Govinda, he told to Govinda, oh, you uncivilized person, don't you see? This woman is like my guru. She has so much eagerness to see Lord Jagannath. I wish I would have that much eagerness. Let her stay. Let her view. Let her have a good view. She is better than me. So somehow I remembered that in my heart. And I was so blissful. Of course I stepped to the side. I told the Shogita, leave the girl. She is more advanced than me. She should stand here. I was feeling inspired by the mercy of Paramatma or Shyama Sundar, who was giving me some memory. Usually I'm very proud, as all of you know. I'm a person from Germany, huh? We don't step to the side unless the president comes with 10 machine guns. But Krishna saved me. It gave some good inspiration, some remembrance. And very blissfully I stepped aside and put my dandavat. And when I got up, then I felt someone pulling my cloth, I didn't want to turn around. I wanted to see the deity. And then Janardhan Maharaj's voice was there. Do you remember the pastime of? He had the same inspiration. Maharaji, we were saved. Otherwise, we would have done a great offense against someone who is more advanced than us. You know. So Krishna is ready, this is my point, to talk to devotees, to engage with the devotees. He's ready. Especially in his form of a deity, he has this one quality, I don't remember the Sanskrit, but he is accepting each one who comes with a sincere intent. Krishna immediately accepts them and is immediately ready to engage with the devotee. So many devotees who come to Radha Shyam Sundar and the other other deities, they report that they had a sincere question which they didn't know if this was how they should move, should I stay or should I go? Should I leave Vrindavan? Should I remain a brahmachari? Should I remain a sannyasi or should I marry? You know, modern ISKCON, Haribol. You know, sincere questions. Should I have a child or no? Or should I do this service or should I follow my authority or rebel sufficiently? You know, deep questions, existential questions, and they got an answer from the deity. They followed that advice, and it was always right. So this is our point. Krishna is ready to engage in a relationship with his devotee. However, and this is now a very important however, it is actually the most important word in my lecture this morning. Krishna wants to engage with a surrendered devotee. And he brings us to this surrender in his own ways. He sends some test of our devotion. And when we approach this test, Krishna wants us to pass the test and become surrendered devotees and turn to him. He sends often tests. He needs to send a few tests because the different degrees of surrender, as we all know. There's complete surrender and there's a little surrender. This is described in the Satvata Sanghita, how surrender starts with offering something to Krishna, and then this is how it starts. You give something to Krishna, that's a form of surrender. And finally, on the last degree of surrender, when you are, you could say, 100% surrender, you offer your very self to Krishna, which is not possible maybe for a devotee at the beginning stages of his spiritual life. But in order to bring a devotee from this level of offering a little to Krishna to full surrender, Krishna purifies the devotee by sending him some tests which make the devotee more eager. And we will hear about this a little bit. Krishna sends also tests to his pure devotees, but that's something different. I need to mention it, however, so that you will be able to understand a few subtle points this morning. The gopis are the most exalted devotees of Krishna, and as we all know, Krishna left them. For instance, at the Rasa dance, or when he went, finally, when he left them and went into a far distant place, this is called separation with long distance. He went to Mathura and then to Dwaraka. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur tells us what is Krishna's intention when he left the gopis at that time. He said, just like a rich, he wanted to actually show the glories of the full surrender of the devotees as the highest form of surrender. And he gives this example. A rich man wants to sometimes show the quality of his own gold. So he will put it in a furnace. Furnace is a difficult word for those who don't have English at their mother tongue. It's very hot fire, which the blacksmith uses. Very, very hot. And then the gold will melt and will become very brilliant. It will have a shine to it, which any gold knower, another rich man, for instance, would immediately recognize, and he would go, wow, this is super pure gold. I have no further questions how rich you are. You are unlimited rich. So a rich man will sometimes do this to demonstrate his wealth. So Krishna also, who loves the gopis so much, puts them into these, we could say, fire tests to show how they react. The gopis don't react, for instance, like, oh, Krishna left me, I will leave him, I get another lord. No. Even when Krishna leaves them, goes far away. And the fire of separation, which is the hottest, that is the separation which takes place when the beloved is in a long, long distance, yes? Then when the fire comes so strong in the heart of the devotees, the gopis, then you see them shining. You see how the gopis they don't eat any longer. They just go into an intense absorption of Krishna. And as we all know, at that time Krishna appears in the heart of the devotees and is of the gopis, and he is really together with them in their hearts. Yes. So this is Krishna. Now, this is the highest degree of surrender. This is the gopis, and no ordinary soul will ever have such love. But Krishna sometimes shows, haha, my gopis. See the brilliance of their light and their love. Now let's go to us, my dear devotees, because we don't want to be criticized of talking on high subject matters and not relevant to the situation of the devotees. Listen carefully. Some of you will faint when you hear this, what will come. I will revive you again, but please give me your ear and your full attention. For an ordinary devotee, Krishna has other types of tests. Tests which help these devotees to come to the level of surrender in some ways. And we had I don't know if you know, but we had this very, very wonderful Govardhan retreat just a couple of days ago. It ended, and please come next year, my dear devotees. It was so ecstatic that now we feel confident to invite the whole world to it. It's really good. I'm not saying, others have said. So there Burijan Prabhu gave a very well-researched lecture or seminar on how Krishna puts devotees to a test. And he used the example of one great devotee to isolate some principles. And he says, when we are put to a test, there are four stages we go through. It's something he has observed, and when I heard it, I could see it's true. I can recognize it. First of all, you recognize, oh my God, this is now an intense situation. I have become ill. I really don't know how I can cure this illness. Or another test is maybe that we, Krishna test means he always takes something from us, health or our good name, there's a misunderstanding and everyone thinks I'm a rascal. I know I'm a rascal, but why does everyone think I'm a rascal? They should think I'm glorious, please. You know, this is so. Or we have some philosophical issue which we can't solve, and we get into doubts. And there are many types of tests. You all know what I'm speaking about because you're on the path. And you know. So then the next level is when it's a real test sent by Krishna, the devotee feels helpless. That's a level number two. My God, this is something I can't solve on my own. Whew, I'm trying to become healthy. I'm trying to repair my damaged name, but the more I try to do it, the more I entangle myself. Oh, Krishna, this gets intense here. And we feel helpless. And after some time, we may even feel hopeless. Now, when a conditioned soul who is not yet willing to surrender to Krishna feels hopeless, something shifts in his or her consciousness. You know, we are all not yet so willing to surrender. We want to have our own little piece of the cake always. So we begin, Krishna intensifies the tests because he needs to bring us to this place, the place where we feel hopeless on ours. Oh. Then the devotee can change his consciousness and finally say, this is too much for me to solve. I can't solve it. I don't know the answer. I'm helpless, and now I'm hopeless. Oh, Krishna, sorry, I forgot you. Krishna, please, you
I surrender now. I do what I need to do. I even excuse myself for the wrong which I did. I even do some service which I don't like to do. I'm ready to do everything. And this is the place Krishna wanted to bring you. Congratulations. You finally came to this place after 1 week, after 1 month, after 1 year. Maybe you are on this path since many lifetimes. Maybe some of you came to this path after lifetimes. Prabhupada once told to one of his disciples, very moving, he gave him a dhoti, like he wanted, meaning he wanted him to become a surrendered servant, a devotee, you know, to join the Brahmacharya ashram for service, and he gave this like this. So the cloth came. So the devotee, he said, "Prabhupada, I'm not ready yet." Then Prabhupada answered, "Since the last 600 lives, I'm trying to make you a devotee." Don't laugh. It's a sad story of maybe your own life. We are reluctant to surrender. We don't wish to give ourselves. We are afraid. There are three obstacles: vita, raga, bhaya, krodha. Attachments are in our way. This is raga, vita, raga, bhaya. Bhaya is fear. We are afraid to surrender to Krishna, maybe. And krodha, we are angry when we are asked to surrender. I have a person near to me who very easily gets angry. Our love of Krishna is damped in at the moment. It's not flowing freely. So therefore Krishna, who is so much loving and so much wants the love of the devotee, he sends some tests in our way, where we at the end of the tests, after we have gone through the different stages of recognizing this is a test, feeling helpless, I can't really solve this now. And then the test gets intense, more intense, hopeless, and then finally, the light of knowledge awakens. Maybe by Krishna's grace, that we say, "I have to surrender now. I have to take shelter at Krishna's lotus feet." My dear devotees, when Krishna is merciful to his devotees, then yasyaham anugrinami, he takes the things away, which is another word for saying he gives his devotees tests. He takes the things away and finally he is ready to give them pure and brilliant bhakti in their hearts. The devotee must only do one thing during this time of test. He must continue to hear about Krishna, to think about Krishna, and then finally he is ready to surrender. Uddhava talks about Krishna's lotus feet, and I want to give courage to you to accelerate your surrender process, to help you so that you do this more quicker. Don't wait until you are almost with broken bones on the ground. Tapa trayena bihatasya gore santapya manasya bhavadanisha pasyami nanyach charanam tavangri dvandva tapatra damrita bivasha. Uddhava says, "My dear Lord, for one who is being tormented on the terrible path of birth and death, And for one who is constantly overwhelmed by the threefold miseries, I do not see any possible shelter other than your two lotus feet, which are just like a refreshing umbrella that pours down showers of delicious nectar. We don't have experience in this world of such an umbrella which both protects and gives showers of nectar. I think this would be a good tip for the umbrella industry to produce such a thing. Maybe the Chinese will take it up. But when Pridhu Maharaj was coronated as king, the demigod Vayu presented Pridhu Maharaj with such an umbrella, which was good for, you know, which was protective against sun and other things, and which also showered nectar, you know, nectar dripped down on and gave a very cooling effect. It constantly sprayed fine particles of water. Imagine such an umbrella in Vrindavan in the hot season. Wouldn't that be nifty? Or first class umbrella, you know, you have it against the sun and then you are cool. She's constantly showered by fine particles of water. So this is the example which Uddhava uses to describe the experience of taking shelter under Krishna. He says, under Krishna's lotus feet, he says, it's like taking shelter under an umbrella against the miseries which constantly pour down on you, threefold miseries, body and mind, my mind, and what you suffer from others, that's also big thing in Kali Yuga, body suffering, mental suffering, and what you suffer from others. When you take shelter under Krishna's lotus feet, that stops. That constant shower of misery. And another thing happens, you get some nectar, Prabhus, from Krishna's lotus feet. It is something pours down, and finally your heart's get a little soft and relieved and relaxed, and you can experience, oh Krishna, my dear Krishna, thank you. Now I understand. Now I understand why you sent me all these tests, which in my ignorance, and because I did not know your real intentions, now I thought, there's just misery. I now understand that you needed to put on the fire a little bit so that I finally could come to this delicious, protective and nectar spraying or nectar giving shelter of your lotus feet. I'm ready now to surrender. More and more. Wonderful. Wonderful. This is real spiritual life, my dear devotees. This is Krishna consciousness. But this happens if Krishna sees you have some inclination for his service. Then he helps you. By the way, would you like to know the meaning of initiation? Initiation means beginning the spiritual path. This is also what you have to learn if you want to begin initiation on maybe a level which is not yet so high, but it's there. I'm taking great pleasure in reading this book. It really doesn't look like a book at the moment. It's called the Sanat Kumar Sanghita. Very, very first class Vaishnav literature, where Narada approaches Lord Shiva, who sits at the bank of the Jamuna, and asks him very confidential questions. One of them is, what is spiritual initiation, please? So Sadashiva says, Narada, please hear about this and I will tell you about spiritual initiation. Listen to this. Simply by hearing of this, even without following this description, the people become liberated. So my dear devotees, if you hear now some high things and you say, it's above my head, I just really can't do it. Just stay with that text. You will become free from your problems. Huh? So, so if you want the spiritual path, you must first of all understand this world is a place of suffering. O best of sages, aware that every place in the material world, from Brahma Loka down, is temporary and destined for destruction. A person begins to feel the kinds of material sufferings. I am suffering. And then a wise person understands, I understood, this world is not for enjoyment, and he renounces the world. I think we all have done this, to some extent at least. We have said, my God, I understood, I become a devotee. So when you are on that level where you can understand this is not a place for enjoyment, you should think deeply about how you can cut your connection with this world. Only when you think of cutting your connection with the world will you be successful and be happy ultimately. So at that moment when you think, I cut my connection to this mundane life, this life of illusion, then, O Brahmanas, a wise person who knows that the shelter of the Lord is very difficult to attain, he should take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. And then he should become a disciple. And do you know how, then it says, service to the spiritual master is the same, as the same means non-different, as direct loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The wise, who are learned in the Vedas and Vedangas, declare that this service is the path. And here is the here is how you should approach the spiritual master, if your spiritual life goes well.
Trayasva bo jagannata guru sangsaravanina daktam cha kala dashtam cha trahimang bhavasagarat.
Are you ready to hear the translation? No. Yes, okay. This is the mood. Some of you will faint now. Let's get the first aid kit ready. O spiritual master, please save me. I am burning in the fire of repeated birth and death. I am bitten by the black snake of time. Please rescue me from the ocean of birth and death. And when you are at this place where you really feel, I need shelter, I need shelter, I need shelter, then Lord Krishna, the son of Nanda, who is the crest jewel of all deities, his lotus feet should be worshipped alone. Yeah. So anyways, this is a text from the Sanat Kumar Sanghita, which now I wanted to quote in order to convince you of this point that Krishna needs to bring us to a place where we feel helpless and hopeless I'm suffering. The snake of time is on my case. It's running behind me. I need to take shelter. And at that time, you search for shelter of the devotees and of Krishna, the spiritual master, and of Krishna in all earnestness. Now, my dear devotee, this is a lecture which is given from the heart. This is our Lord. In the Bhagavatam, there's this beautiful episode where the gopis ask Krishna, why were you so far away? Why did you leave us? You first called us and then you left us. And then Krishna answers to them, my dear devotees, I'm doing this to increase your love for me, your surrender. Huh? And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a wonderful, wonderful gloss on that. How do you say good English? Purport. He says, he relates this to chanting the holy name. He says, my dear devotees who chant the holy name, sometimes I'm not present when you chant my holy names. I'm doing this to increase your eagerness to get me. My dear devotees, this is the whole subject matter of when you feel difficulties. When you feel difficulties, know it's the tests of the Lord, and know He is with you. He is a little in the background. He's hiding, and He wants to see how are you doing now. Are you turning to Him for shelter? Are you surrendering to Him? And if He sees this, He rewards you unlimitedly, especially in chanting holy name. My dear devotees, the most merciful form of Krishna in the age of Kali is His name form. Why? Well, Krishna only comes into a heart which is fully purified, which is surrendered. He says so. Savadamang parijaja. Give up all your stuff. Give up all your dharmas and surrender to me. Then Krishna is ready to, He wants this. He wants to bring you to that level, as we have heard. How does Krishna want to bring you to this level? Well, He appears because He knows you are weak on your own as the holy name. He appears in this most powerful and most merciful and most properly for some of us the most mysterious incarnation. And He comes as the Nam Avatar, and He is ready to do something as the Nam Avatar, which you absolutely cannot do on your own. He's ready to clean your heart from this attachment, fear, and anger, or protest, you could say, or rebellion against Him. Huh? He's ready. And then you can experience love for Him in increasing measures, and so on. But Krishna will test you even at the holy name. He will test you and see how attentively are you chanting. How are you chanting when the chanting is not going? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. I know you will soon chime in. No need, no need. At this stage, chime in when you are alone. Then chant your rounds. So, this is what Krishna wants to see. He wants to see when it's even not blissful or when it's difficult, like when you come to the Vrindavan festival. Oh, so much is happening. Everyone wants to speak to you. My japa, what happens with my japa? He wants to see what are you doing when you no longer following your vows. Will you keep on staying at that place? Or will you do something and greet him in his most merciful form in which he came? The holy name, when you surrender to the holy name, everything goes very quick. Because Krishna in this holy name will cleanse your heart, you know, Chetoda Panamajanam, from your own protestful desires against the will of Krishna. He will cleanse you. He will make you malleable. He will make you an instrument in his hands. He will use you and he will come into your life and appear brilliantly on the lotus of your heart. This is Krishna. This is the holy name. Therefore, holy name is most merciful. My dear devotees, please become chanters of the holy name. Become scientists of the holy name. Become tested chanters of the holy name. And become lovers of the holy name. Then you will be a lover of God and you will have relationships with Krishna. You will be protected from the distress of the threefold miseries which constantly come and which come even more. And the next year, the astrology wallers warn us, will be intense up to September, Shani, and so on and so forth. I'm not so knowledgeable, but I'm even using astrology to bring you to surrender. If you are on that level and impressed on that level. If you want the shelter from the miseries of material existence and feel some nectar, go, run to the lotus feet of the holy name. Pray to him, "Oh my holy name, I have so often neglected you. I'm not a good chanter. Please, my holy name, accept me nevertheless." And you will see mysteries unfold in your holy spiritual life. I have said what I wanted to say. I shall now switch off. And I will also now say something private. My dear devotees, I'm very sorry that I was preaching a little intensely to you. I really don't. I mean, some part of me likes this, but I'm becoming more humble as I'm knowing how disqualified I am, and I'm just doing this, preaching and poking you a little, so that you hear something and you think about something and make your own decision after some time. So if I have been a little pokey today, please forgive me. It is. Now I'm normal. I'm a peaceful person. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sikonitai ki jai. Gaur Premanandi. Hari Bol. Hare Krishna. So we are a little late and the message is so super clear that we will not have no need of questions. You wish to ask?
Question,
yes.
Yes.